T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, third hour. Hour number 3. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Off a good weekend here. A little Masters. Get back to the NBA. A little Kyrie. A little Kevin Durant. He had some interesting things to say as well, as he usually does when he speaks. And Tiki and I are coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. By the way, I just mentioned the Masters. David Duval joined us last hour. Go check it out, Odyssey.com. Just type in our name, Tiki and Tierney. Check it out. It'll bring you to the page. Also, you can go and check out our YouTube page, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. And listen, we started the show with what I believe to be an abundance of issues for the NBA. Mm-hmm. All right. And this is not new. We've talked about the deterioration of the product, where there's an aversion to defense. The shot selection is horrendous.
Horrible.
It's horrible, man. The crazy thing is, Deke, it's not only relegated to like the innocuous points of the game, like shot selection down the stretch isn't even good. It's not like they're saying, well, first couple of quarters, all right, we can get a little loose and then tighten things up and get back to fundamentals and take good shots. There's still bad shots at every point of the game. And obviously with Kyrie, now the game's canceled tonight, rightfully so, in Minnesota, given what's happened out there, sadly.
Yep. But the Red Sox Twins I just saw.
Yes, they were first.
Yeah.
And then the Nets and the T-Wolves followed suit, rightfully and understandably so. And hopefully, you know, tensions ease as quickly as they can out there. And it's horrendous what happened, for sure. So it's really sad. And we're back to that. Another point of emotions flaring, and we get it, and we're not ignoring it. You know, we're just doing our sports show, but obviously, there's no game in Minnesota tonight. And, the issue with Irving is that, you know, there's just been a lack of accountability. I think what bothers me the most, and then we'll want to get to Durant here. I think what bothers me the most about Kyrie, and again, while remaining sensitive, highly sensitive to stress or I'm not even him, mental disorders or anything that plagues the mind and creates a heaviness within oneself. We get it. We understand it. I think you and I would both be dishonest if we didn't raise our hand and say at some point our lives could have even been 2 weeks ago where we felt a heaviness or a confusion about something. We're people. It is what it is. We get it. My issue, and we're empathetic and we're sympathetic to it. My big problem, though, is that it just seems too flippant. Like, I do believe that fans deserve to know why. Maybe not the depth of what troubles you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to pull back the curtain and tell the world what's going on in your mind. But when people, you know, when reporters ask you when you return, as they did the last time, you know, where were you or what's going on? And you just say, my head wasn't there, and I paraphrase, but it's pretty much, I just wasn't into it. That's not good enough for the hardworking paying consumers of the sport.
Yeah, no, and it just seems random, and that's I think the hard part about it is random days that he's just taken off. Now, if they're maintenance days, I think we'd understand it a little bit more. At least if it was communicated as a maintenance day, it would make more sense. Just like when Kawhi Leonard was getting in trouble, so to speak, for taking these maintenance days. It was kind of like, come on, and dude, he just said, yeah, it's got a bad quad. You want him to like play now, or you want him to play in the postseason? And the answer is easy. You want him to play in the postseason, so take some maintenance days. It is what it is. We kind of understand that, even if, as a fan, you want to see him and you buy that ticket, as you're alluding to, BT, you want to see him play. But you can understand it. If it seems like it's just because you need a day off, or you're mentally taxed, then I don't know if that's good enough for the average fan. It's to be determined. I mean, I don't know how we're going to ultimately judge this with Kyrie Irving, but it just feels like every other week he's taking some days off, and it's kind of rubbing people the wrong way.
I don't know. I'm not sure how to say this. I think the scoreboard with Kyrie, right? I almost don't want to be too dark or ominous here, but I want to address what you just said. The question of how it'll be judged now, I know how it's judged now for me, right?
Yeah.
But we've talked a lot in the past about, you know, man, we saw these signs and we ignored it. We weren't fully sensitive to it. I think at least pertaining to Kyrie, if Kyrie Irving goes on and hopefully lives a long, healthy, happy, fruitful life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the way I'm positioning this now, I'll feel totally fine with that, you know, because I have nothing to really rethink. It's just he just didn't play some games, but he's fine. You know, if he retires in a year or two, or God forbid something worse, then these were warning flares that needed to maybe be treated accordingly. So I can't answer that yet because we don't know where life is going to take Kyrie. We don't know. We don't know where life is going to take any of us, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you know, we do. There are some sentiments, and I don't think they're really grossly irresponsible. When a lot of people say, you know, on some level, Kyrie's kind of telling us, even if he's not telling us, he's kind of telling us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, I don't. I definitely know what you mean.
So,
and, I mean, it's not like this isn't a one-off thing. It's not. I just need a step away from. This game is paying me a lot of money that he obviously loves because he's great at it.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to be away. And I don't know what that's all about. Eventually we will hopefully find out what that's about.
Yep.
But in the meantime, we're talking more about what it means for the NBA. At least we were talking about what it means for the NBA.
Yeah.
And if it becomes commonplace for guys just to say, look, I need a mental break. I need to take some time off. And then the game really goes to crap.
Well, now we get to his teammate. Kevin Durant, who is one of the all-time great players, as we know. And now, Durant, imagine if a superstar still in their prime in any sport went on and said that they are not motivated by championships. That would be a flashpoint of discontent and discord for almost everybody, right? However, as we play this, and it's lengthy, it's Kevin Durant with Rachel Nichols. I don't know if it was on The Jumper or the podcast, but it was with Rachel. He says that he's not motivated by championships. And believe it or not, I'm totally okay with it. Listen to what he says and how he says it, and then you and I will get into it. Go ahead, guys.
I wasn't expecting to be a happy human being from a title. I was just expecting, like, you know, the ending of a movie. Once you work so hard and everybody tells you, like, yo, this is what you need to be working for, is this gold ball and these rings. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Let me lock in on that. And I locked in on wanting to achieve that, but I also realized it's a lot of stuff that factors in it that's out of my control. And once I won a championship, I realized that, like, yo, my view on this game is really about development. Like, how good can I be? It's not about, you know, let's go get this championship or let's go get this gold ring. It's like, yo, how great can you be every time you step out on the floor? Because dudes who don't do nothing on the court become champions. Yeah. And dudes who don't contribute at all in any type of form or fashion can run around and hide behind the championship, but, like, I want to be a great basketball player. And, you know, once I won a championship, I'm like, oh, that's what my goal is, just to be great every day, not to be chasing some stuff that the humans created, you know what I'm saying, in a ring or gold ball. And I appreciate that stuff, and I want to win and experience that stuff, but it's not the end-all, be-all why I play the game.
I love the way you said that the humans created. You're a human. That's funny. All right.
What are you even talking about?
I don't know. But I'm largely down with what he said. Because, again, if you were just to extrapolate, and I'm sure many people will.
Yeah, they'll take the headline.
Yes. Durant not motivated by championships. It seems like a flashpoint of anger. I get it. But for me, as a consumer, as somebody who does this for a living, as a true, you know, fervent fan of the game, as I've said many times, I love basketball, love it. When he says that he's motivated to be great, everything else is implied.
Yeah.
That he is doing every requisite thing that is required for him to be at the absolute apex of his superpowers. And if he's doing that, then as a fan and as a broadcaster, that's all I could ask for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if he, because the championships will come. If Kevin Durant is striving to be better than he already is, which is superstar, and he's working at being great and trying to be the greatest that he can be, then that means that the team he's on is going to be competing for, you know, towards a championship. They might not win one, but he's at least pushing towards a championship. And it's interesting you said that you completely get it, like you understand. I get it as well, right? Because it's at some point, he's right. You can't control what happens on in a championship run. Like, mm-hmm. Think about for James Harden, the Warriors thing that we always bring up, where they had the edge, and Chris Paul goes down. You can't control Chris Paul pulling mm-hmm. a hamstring, you know, mid whatever it was, and early, what was that, game two, and he didn't play again for the rest of the series, right? So you can't control those things. All you can do is try to be great and hope that the guys come with you. Now the only thing that I would criticize him on,
okay,
is it by saying that now all of a sudden somebody else has to be that championship leader in your locker room, right? Somebody else has to be, what are we doing this for? Because think about this from the perspective of the Buccaneers, who we just saw win a championship in the NFL. They just won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, whoever it may have been, you know, a linebacker, or I forget the linebacker's name, but Bush. It was Devin Bush.
Devin Bush.
Right? Who was upset that he didn't make the Pro Bowl, or didn't make All Pro, or whatever it may have been. And Tom Brady was like, yeah, don't worry about that. You know, forget about that. We're going to go win a championship. Right? Like, who is that person on the Nets? That's what matters now when you think about from not just the superstars, but from everybody else.
Jeff Green?
Maybe.
I'm not even trying to be funny. It really might be Jeff Green.
Because he's the vet.
Been around 35 years old, still a pretty decent player, sage voice, respected.
That's right.
It's not going to be Kyrie Irving because, you know, again, he's not just reliable in terms of being there day to day. James Harden is
He
hasn't won one, so he'd be speaking from a hollow position.
Yeah.
He would be theorizing rather than actually taking from something that's you know, that he can practically apply. So if it's not Irving and it's not Durant and it's not Steve Nash, maybe it's somebody like Jeff Green. That's an astute point, though. I was looking at it. That's very important. That's pertaining to the Nets prism. I was looking at it a larger topic. Like, I think
for the
past,
individual. Yeah.
Yes. That's something that would have set me off there. Like, I think you know me well enough. Even a couple of years ago, I think I would have processed that quote differently. But I think it's too easy to take a few words and be unfair to athletes. And that's coming from somebody who's got no problem calling people out when they need to get called out. But I think, listen, if you tell me that your motivation is to be the greatest, then what else do I need to hear?
Yeah.
Then I know that you, and I always thought that about Durant anyway, always, that, you know, when we're not looking, he's getting shots up.
That's right.
Taking care of his body. He's trying his best. Like,
look, BT came back from 20, how many days off was it? From his hamstring, 23? Was it 23 days?
He hadn't played. No, much more than that. He hadn't played since February 13th.
Yeah, so maybe it was 23 games. Yeah, it was 23 games he missed, right?
Yeah, and so, that sounds about right.
Right, and he came back, and he was perfect on the field. So
yep, it wasn't 17 points.
He wasn't
19 minutes.
He wasn't sitting on his couch, like, just tossing the ball in the air.
No, he's a gamer, man. He is a baller. By every day, like, that guy, I don't know. Don't know that I'd say this about every superstar in the NBA. To be fair, most of them. But I think of all the superstars in the NBA, I think that I might put Kevin Durant first in line to go to any city with some good pickup run.
Yeah.
And if this guy didn't have a penny in the bank, he'd be out there balling, trying to slay people. Like, I really believe that.
No, I agree with you, BG. You know, he just has that feel about him.
Yeah.
And that's why the Nets need him. Especially now that, you know, James Harden is battling his own hamstring injury and Kyrie Irving is selectively playing. So yeah, they need that guy, even though somehow they win without him.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the Lakers this past weekend, but they continue to excel, which almost tells you that even though we doubted Steve Nash's ability to come in and manage and run this team, he's actually doing a hell of a job. Because think about the roster, not upheaval because their guys are still there, but just the inconsistency in their roster for the last 2 months because of injury and other mitigating factors. They're still sitting right there as mm-hmm. one of the best teams in the East. So Steve Nash has done a hell of a job despite not having his superstars.
He's done a good job, and I'm not here to say that he hasn't. But you know what? To me, I don't play video games much anymore, but I used to play them a lot. Somewhat, maybe mm-hmm. not a lot, but I used to play them a fair amount. I had my favorite games, right? And when you play a video game, right? And I'll take Mike Tyson's punch out as a good example. We all have a threshold where we can just rotely play and know we're going to advance.
Yeah.
And then we get to that point where you're like, all right, here we go. Level 8, I got to start getting, like, a little sweat on the palms. You got your attention, right?
Yep.
He is still in the stage of he's knowing he's going to advance because he's playing the easier levels. Yeah. He has not yet
left.
Yeah.
Right. Guy goes down.
Again, doing a good job. Not glass, taking anything glass, away from him. Better glass, than I thought, maybe.
Glass Joe falls down.
Glass Joe. Yeah, exactly. Don Flamenco. Eventually, you get by the meatballs, the tomato cans, and you start facing the guys who can mash you. And I think that he is still in the point where, or at the point where the stages are, you know, it's easy. That video game, that controller, it feels good in his hand. There's going to be a point either due to injury or circumstance and now pressure, because let's face it, no pressure on the Nets now. Pressure comes when they're down 2-1 in the playoffs, if they are, or down 3-2. Then that's the palpable pressure.
That's right.
And then he's not going to be playing the levels he already knows. And at that point, we will know exactly what kind of coach Steve Nash is. I surmise that he'll still emerge favorably. I do.
Yeah.
But until we see it, it's still an unknown. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed. But still, very good job he's done so far.
Yes, Dinky, very good job. I agree. All right, coming up next here. So a couple things we want to get into. Number one, Julian Edelman cut by the Pats. Just got cut. So what is that all about? And before that, we've heard a few rumblings, and now we're back to this side of the coin here where the Eagles might take a quarterback in round one. One day we hear they love Hurts. Then it's, we don't know. Now it's, what does it all mean? We'll make sense of it coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, this weekend, the PGA Tour is back on CBS. Many of the world's top golfers descend upon the famous Harbortowns Golf Links course. It's in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And they'll be hooking it up for the RBC Heritage live coverage Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Same deal on IG, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We'll get to Julian Edelman in a moment, but, you know, there's more noise, Tiki, and it's kind of like, there's a lot of fluctuations. Like, one week, you get the sense that the Eagles are enamored enough with Jalen Hurts where he's the guy and they're not going to mess around with a quarterback early in the draft, and then something else kind of hits the sphere, and we're almost forced to rethink this. So here we are, just a couple of weeks. I think it's 19 days now before the draft, or whatever it is, right? And I don't know, 19. I think it's 19.
Yeah.
Are we convinced one way or the other what the Eagles are thinking behind closed doors pertaining to their quarterback spot?
Well, DT, I read this article in The Athletic this morning about the Eagles and some of the dysfunction behind the scenes that was going on between ownership and general manager and head coach. This is all former head coach, obviously, and Doug Peterson, and how it led to the impasse that ultimately occurred with Carson Wentz. And now after paying him $128 million, he's on another team, you know, 2 short years later. So I think that the Eagles have an owner in Jeffrey Lurie, who I personally respect a lot. And I told you the story because when I, obviously they were my biggest rival when I was playing, and my last game was in Philly. My first game, actually, my career ever was against the Eagles in Giant Stadium. Then my last game was against the Eagles down in the link, the new link, in the playoffs. And he came in and spoke, and it was great. He was awesome. But he wants a winner, and he wants a lot of control. And so one of the reasons that I think they've had some disconnection is because of that desire to have control. And he wants Jalen Hurts to be the man. And Jalen Hurts is your guy, and now you're speculating about moving to a quarterback, getting a quarterback. I think it's all speculation to me. I think they believe that Jalen Hurts is a born leader. He adapts or is adaptable to where the game is going at this point. And they've seen other quarterbacks like him have success, and they're intrigued by it. And so they're going to make a run at it. They know that they can't get higher in the draft and go get one of these surefire players in the top maybe four, because we've talked about this a lot, how quarterbacks are going to go the top four. So they're going to run it for a year, I think, with Jalen Hurts and see what's available next year if he isn't the answer.
Okay. I'm fine with that, by the way. I'm okay. I mean,
Me too. I kind of love that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if Jalen Hurts can grow into a more consistent player. I'm not saying he was bad at all, but there was just some inconsistencies, completion percentage, as we talked about a lot at the end of last year. It just felt like he was not one trick, because he could throw. He did throw some good balls, but not a lot of them. It was mostly about his ability to escape and make plays happen with his legs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing that is probably most maddening for a fan base, and I've been through this a lot, not with the last quarterback, because he got every chance to succeed. They gave him nothing, but at least he played. Darnold. There is nothing more frustrating than yo-yoing a quarterback in and out. Because you're really a young guy. Now, if it's like a 27, 28-year-old guy who's been around and you kind of know his ceiling's here and his floor's here and you kind of wasting a year just to kind of get through it and maybe draft something, that's different. I don't mean that. I mean when the chapter is not even remotely written, let alone the book, on a young player, and there's the yo-yo or there's a lack of commitment, there's just a lack of outward enthusiasm for a player. You've got to find out, can a player swim or can he not? And I felt like many times throughout this point that they were going to let him try to swim. I'm probably a little, I know you're not convinced, but I'm probably a little less convinced than you that he's going to actually swim effectively enough to prevent them from doing something in the draft next year.
Yeah.
We'll see. But what's the backup plan behind him for this year? Like, I'm okay if he's the guy, what's the plan B just in case you're really wrong?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It doesn't have to be in the draft, by the way.
Yeah, just
but it's got to be something.
Who's there? Who's available? Because, I mean, who knows where the Eagles actually are right now? Joe Flacco is the back. I forgot that Joe Flacco signed.
They signed Flacco last week.
But, I mean, he's not a future. He's just a stopgap.
Yeah.
Should Jalen Hurts not be that guy? And so, you hear these reports, and that's the reason we're talking about them, that they're going to, potentially move back in, up in the first round to get one of these quarterbacks if a guy should fall. I don't even know what to make of that at this point. All I can do is evaluate what I think this team needs. And to me right now, it's not quarterback. I think this team needs is direction. And consistency in that direction, and not some of the waffling that was happening back and forth last year with Doug Peterson, or lack of transparency is a better way to put it. And you and I identified this early on when Doug Peterson was saying things that, like, he was basically saying nothing. Asked specific questions and saying nothing tells you that you're hiding something and something else is going on. Now, maybe he was just trying to protect people. But it that hurts a locker room, especially when it's around the quarterback, as it obviously turned out to be the issue that ultimately divided that team, and now he's gone, as is his quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. Julian Edelman has been cut by the Pats. Now, I think it's been positioned wrong. Like, it's not a callous move by the Pats. I think it's a precursor to retirement. I don't think he's playing again.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to.
He failed his physical.
Failed his physical. He's not going to resurface with the Tampa Bay Bucs, despite some people say. And if he does, then I'm wrong, but I don't see it. Julian Edelman, to me, and I've said this before on the show, I actually believe that there's a spot for him in the Hall of Fame that gets rigorous opposition. To me, he is a lot like a lot of guys that I watched on the Yankees during the dynastic run. Who, by the way, this actually doesn't solidify my point, because they're not in the Hall of Fame either. But guys like Bernie Williams, right? not a Hall of Famer, nor should he be. Yankee legend, not a Cooperstown Hall of Famer. Tino Martinez, Yankee legend, not a Hall of Famer. A lot of guys like that. Paul O'Neill, Yankee legend, not a Hall of Famer in Cooperstown, and they shouldn't be. But baseball is so much more definitively driven by statistics. Mm-hmm. There's less wiggle room there. If you don't have the 3,000 knocks or the 400 or 500 bombs or ever, the X amount of wins, 285 now, whatever, 3,000 whiffs, you know, we know the numbers, right? Football is different to me. And I look back, and I know that he's only had a handful of 1,000-yard receiving seasons. I know that he was never one of the top three, four, five best receivers in football, which, as soon as I say that, probably nullifies my point that I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But his entire body of work, to me, I feel like there's a place in Canton, Ohio for Julian Edelman. I always have.
I'm not going to argue because I don't believe that he's even in the conversation. He's never made an All-Pro, never made a Pro Bowl. He's only got, 6,000 yards receiving, 36 touchdowns. He's been iconic in the postseason, yeah. 3 Super Bowl rings, but only 5 touchdowns in 15 postseasons or whatever it was, 10 postseasons. So it's not like he was, this world beater when it mattered in the postseason. He was a great player for the New England Patriots. He's a New England legend, and will probably be in their Ring of Honor. But I can't say he's a Hall of Famer.
So Tom Brady's going to have nobody that he played with in the Hall of Fame outside of Randy Moss.
Yeah.
How is that? And Gronk. How is that possible? How is that possible?
Because they rotated talent. I think there's some defensive players that might
No, I'm talking about on offense. Just offensive guys. Think about that. No running backs.
It's interesting. It's really interesting. But it's that question you asked me, BT. Maybe it was a year ago. I forgot even how it came up. It was just random. You were just like, hey, well, who would you rather have as your quarterback, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
I said Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning will make you a Hall of Famer, but Tom Brady will win you Super Bowl.
Right? I remember that. Right? Yep. I remember.
But, you're almost like an afterthought on some of those teams. I mean, if you're not a New England Patriots fan, it's hard to pull some of the really good players, like the Troy Browns of the world, the David Pattons that we talked about yesterday, right? It's really hard to pull them out of your mind, like Kevin Falk. Exactly. It's hard to pull them out of your mind if you're talking about the New England Patriots, if you're not a New England Patriots fan.
Yeah, but it's not hard to pull Edelman's exploits out of your mind. Like, Edelman, to me, is synonymous.
Well, Edelman's different.
That's why I'm saying he should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, just because he's better than the guys that were there before, he's not a Hall of Famer. Hey, I'm not going to argue with you.
I know you're not. I'm not even going to try to pull you into it. I know you're not feeling it. I got you. You've said it before. And by the way, I think a lot more people agree with you than they agree with me. That's fine. Let me ask Ack, though. Ack, you give any merit to Edelman?
I'd have to really think about it, but off the top of my head, no.
I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
Get out of here. Hall of very, very, very good. Oh. I'm not sure. I'm not quite. I'd really have to go. It's funny because I've been thinking about it the last couple of about the last half hour or so.
Yep.
And like my gut reaction says no. I'd have to really think about it. The other thing too that is I think he's one of those guys that might be. I think over time, I think we might look back more favorably upon. And I think there's a handful of people that I feel that way about.
Well, including one of which is my partner.
Exactly.
As time goes on, more and more people real. Now I'm starting to see all these NFL throwback, CBS Sports, PR. Oh, how great was this guy? No kidding. I've known this forever. Now everybody's putting out tweets how great Tiki was. No kidding. All right. I'm still saying Edelman should get in. I'm not saying that he will. I'm saying more that he should. And I actually do believe that he will eventually, but we'll see. Let's get the update from Mac. We'll come back, and Tiki and I will get the blast, and we'll wrap up a great Monday. Ack's update is right now. Here he is. A little Nirvana to wrap it up. I always wondered how Nirvana would have aged. And we'll never know, of course, but I always wondered how their music would have aged, what they would have produced as they got older, as it kind of saw the world differently. I never know. It stinks. All right, Tiki, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, today's question is about, it's a good one, I like it. It's from Jordan, who's out in Lancaster, PA. And Jordan wants to know, which quarterback do you think is going to have the better year of this new team? Goff in Detroit, Darnold with Carolina, or Wentz in Indianapolis?
Just out of those two? Those three?
Those three.
That's an interesting one. I'm probably going to say Darnold in Carolina.
Oof!
I think Carolina has the talent, and I think the coaching staff is so good down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it hasn't been proven on the NFL level yet, but my gut is that that's the best staff.
I would probably go with Wentz, though I do think that that Sam's going to have a nice pop, and you know that I like the move for Carolina, so we'll see.
Think I just don't think Wentz has any. I think there's something wrong with Carson Wentz. That's why I say
we'll
that.
We'll find out soon. If you're right, they got problems because they're supposed to try to win something this year.
Yeah.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So here's the thing, BT. There's an excuse for Sam Darnold. Golf, I mean, that's going to be a rough. He's going to be the bottom of that three.
Yeah, he
for
could
sure,
be.
Because they're rebuilding, you know.
Yep.
But there was an excuse for Darnold. I can't explain what happened with Carson Wentz. There's just no explanation.
Right? That's
go
fair.
From one of the top quarterbacks in the league to literally one of the worst.
Well, you know what's interesting about Wentz is that we'll probably know, like we might not know right away with Darnold. Like it could be two or three games in with Sam and mm-hmm. he's still getting a sense of the new system, working with Brady, working with different players, obviously, Coach Rhule. And obviously that applies to Wentz too, although he's back with his former coach, so the transition should be truncated. Mm-hmm. But I think with Carson Wentz, like if he doesn't flash kind of quick,
yeah,
then that hole is so deep. And then there might not be any exit in sight. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going into October and Carson Wentz is still shaky?
Yeah, scuffling.
Carson Wentz going to have some problems.
I agreed.
You know? All right, ready to get to the blast, see what we got here on a Monday, wrap it up?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Comedy actor Kevin James set to play Sean Payton in an upcoming Netflix film, Home Team, about Payton coaching his son's youth football team during the year that he was suspended for Bountygate. What are our thoughts on the plot and the casting?
I love it.
What are the thoughts?
I mean, I guess it's an interesting story. I'm sure it's got to be somewhat comedic. It's not going to be a serious takedown of the NFL's suspension of Sean Payton over nonsense, as we all know that was. I like Kevin James, so I think making a funny twist on Sean Payton is kind of awesome, especially because he's coaching Little League.
Yep.
And knowing how Coach Payton coaches,
yeah.
I hope it's a little less intense.
I hear you. I mean, listen, I like it. First of all, it's on Netflix, so it's got a real good chance to be good.
Yeah.
Very good, number one. Number two, what do I think about the casting? I'm not feeling the casting for two reasons. Number one, physically, I mean, yeah, I guess facially you can kind of see the resemblance here, but Kevin James is a big guy. I know his weight's fluctuated over the years.
Yeah, he might be getting lean, though, dude.
All right, okay. Well, I'm just saying that he needs to if you want to really – not that Sean Payton is incredibly lean, but I think Kevin James is too big over the years to play Sean. But you can get around that. What I don't know that you can get around – is apparently, you know, even Kevin James, I've never really seen his stand-up routine. I like him, King of Queen. I like a lot of his movies. Adam Sandler, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Never curses. never curses. Like, he's
good point.
Devoutly against that. So if you're playing Sean Payton, you better curse. Otherwise, it's not going to be incredibly authentic. So we'll see. A-Rod failed in his big buy to buy the Mets. But the former slugger didn't give up now, and he's reportedly part of a group to buy the Timberwolves here. So what are our thoughts on A-Rod owning an NBA team? I just feel like, you know, fine. I mean, you got the bank to back it up. Cool. It can't be a lot worse than they've been the last couple of years. That's fine. Do they start trading players? I mean, what's the mission of the new ownership? I don't know. Does Carl Anthony Towns, is there an edict from A-Rod? Maybe A-Rod's really working with Dolan and the Knicks to get Carl Anthony Towns to the Garden. I don't know, but it just seems like A-Rod is not comfortable doing nothing. And that's fine.
He's got a full-time job. I respect the hustle.
I watch him on Sunday night. We all do. He's a busy guy. A-Rod in Major League Baseball is enough. I don't really need A-Rod's little corny personality on occasion seeping into the NBA. Yeah. I like him, but I got my limits with A-Rod.
If it's good for A-Rod, it must be good for somebody, right? Then here's the thing. I think they might have designs to move move them.
Nah, where they? That's a charter NBA city. Minneapolis Lake. Where are they moving?
I don't know, but
did you hear that?
I have heard that.
You have heard that.
I just don't. I don't know if it's the reality or. Glenn Taylor obviously wants out for a reason.
Uh-huh.
So people are speculating that if they're going to move, you need a popular face.
How about Las Vegas? Are you going to move to Las Vegas?
Perfect destination, BT.
You know, Miami has the heat. Otherwise, that would make a ton of sense for A-Rod's connections. Yep. But you're going to move out of Minnesota, huh?
Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe not.
Okay, I got you. I know that's informed speculation. I got you. I got you. Warriors rookie James Wiseman will likely miss the rest of the season. He hurt his knee, Teague, which stinks. Now, second overall pick, didn't play a lot of Memphis. We know his story well. He played about 7 or 8 games, and then he left. But he's averaging 12 points and 6 boards in 39 games. Again, a season apparently over. Would you classify his rookie season as disappointing, exceeding expectations, or about what you anticipated?
I had no idea because we didn't see him play at all in college. We knew he was a little bit limited in his offensive game. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he's so physically dominant, especially his young body. You knew he'd be good defensively. Offensively, we just had no idea. I'm going to say it's a little bit above what I expected. Because he stepped right in after, I think it was like 4 or 5 games. He was on the bench, and all of a sudden he was starting, and he was a valuable contributor.
Yeah.
It's disappointing that he's going to miss the rest of the season because he could use this development on a team that's struggling and now trying to fight their way back to being a consistent winner.
Yeah.
I think it would have done him well. So I'm going to say above average.
Yeah, plus the more court time he gets with Curry and Draymond, you know, the better for their future. It's about what I expected. By the way, didn't he have a great debut? Like he had 20 something. Like his first game was great. Then he regressed a little. Then he found his way. Yeah, 12.6 boards. Big man, a little bit raw. Didn't play a ton. Pretty much like he's right from high school. If you think about it, he just didn't play a lot of college games, as we said. So he never looked out of place. That's for sure. A little raw. He's got to tighten things up. Get a little bit more refined mechanically, playing basketball, offensively, pick and roll defense, blah blah blah. But for the most part. He was about what I expected, and that's a pretty favorable thing. I thought he looked pretty good. Joe Musgrove of the Padres threw the first no-hitter in franchise history on Friday. They've been chasing this for a long time. I think the Padres were born in 1969, if I have that right. Santa, can you check that, please? Struck out 10. The last Major League perfect game was Felix Hernandez, King Felix, back in 2012, though we've seen 27 no-nos since then. Why do we think there's been such a long gap between perfect games? This is easy. Number one, because there's better hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, a perfect game is a perfect game, but let's face it, a perfect game in 1983, whatever year, I think it was 81. I think Len Barker threw one for the Indians. I'm pretty sure it was 81. 80 or 81. You know, you're pitching for the Indians or whomever in the early 80s, late 70s. You got a bunch of Punch and Judy guys playing second base. Shortstops hitting 237, bunting. You know, it's just catchers hit 7 home runs on the whole year. Nobody can really hit outside of 3, 4, 5, and maybe 6 with a DH. So that's part of it. Strike zone part of it as well. Guys swing from their heels and equipment's better. Guys are faster, beat out more base hits. Those were a few reasons.
Yeah. Do you see Acuna?
I got him on my fantasy team, Acuna.
I mean, he legged out a routine ground double to Didi Gregorius.
The shortstop.
He beat it.
I did see that.
It's crazy.
That was last night. I think the Phillies Phillies won the game.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Yeah, no, he's hitting for something. Acuna looks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think other part of this is that I think pitchers aren't conditioned anymore to go the distance like that. Maybe they are physically, but in their minds, they know at some point they're getting the hook.
Yeah.
Right? It's just this, the analytics side of baseball has taken over to the point where, I mean, forget a perfect game. Can I see a complete game?
Yeah.
Which is, it's rare. Mm-hmm. So there's many of the factors that BT said, but I think it's also just the way that the approach is towards starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
WrestleMania 37. Jeez, we're up to 37. Good God. Took place over the weekend down in Tampa. Two separate nights. Roman Reigns won an epic 3-way main event against Daniel Bryan and Edge. I believe he pinned them both at the same time. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. Could you ever see yourself getting back into wrestling? What would it take? You were never into wrestling.
I mean, it was a little bit, but not a ton. Not like you were.
No, I was a maniac. You know I loved it. what would it take for me to get, you know, listen, I no, not on a full-time.
No, I mean, I don't see it, yeah.
I was so invested. I mean, I'm doing interviews in front of my parents. Mirror, I'm jumping off with my shirt off when I'm nine. I'm jumping off my dad's nightstand, not like a dresser onto the bed doing Jimmy Snuka. I broke the ceiling when I did a drop kick and my bed broke. I used to put ketchup on my head so it looked like I was bleeding. I used to play on my album the Hulk Hogan song, I'm a Real American. I am a real, right, that one. And I'd walk up the stairs and I'd come down the hallway and I'd have a t-shirt on and I'd do the whole like Hulk Hogan routine. I mean, I was a maniac. I would do Roddy Piper interviews. Why I will never be into it the way I was, which was incredibly fervent, I mean, I was in, is that to me the interviews are not nearly as interesting as they used to be. Like, whether it was Piper's Pit or the Snake Pit with Jake Roberts, which was incredible. Jake Roberts, incredibly underrated with the microphone. Dark, brilliant, awesome. Like, even the Body Shop when I was with Jake, with Jesse the Body. Those little segments to me, that's what brought me in. I liked the wrestling, but it was showman stuff.
It was the showman corny stuff, right?
And it doesn't grip me the way it used to because it's not as good as it used to. And I'm older, so I mean, whatever.
And they didn't make a ton of money back then either.
Well, it depends. Now, Piper and Hogan and those guys made, I mean, Hogan made millions and Piper
probably. Well, over time they did, but when they first started it.
Oh, no. When they first started? No, you're right.
And so they were doing it because they loved to entertain.
Yeah.
Whereas now people get into wrestling because they want to make money.
It's big still, part it's of
a different. It's a different, like, motivation. And so you're willing to do crazy, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, when you just love it.
Oh,
like, all right, let's have a cage match. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Every night.
I'll rake my face across it. You know what? I'll get on the top and I'll jump off.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Exactly.
And then the crazy part is they would do this every single night.
Yes, I know. Because
they would have to go to different territories and they'd get in a car.
Yep.
This is obviously not advisable and moronic, but they would drink two cases of beer going from Fort Worth, Texas to, Arkansas. And they get into a bar fight with 10 bikers when they, like, just incredibly epic stuff. So it's not the same. I'm not here to beat on WWE because some of it's the athleticism is incredible.
Yeah.
But it was the skits that really pulled me in. There you go. All right, Deke. I know we have Justin Leonard tomorrow. What else we have? Let's see what happens. I'm sure something good will happen. It always does.
Yeah.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Good start to the week. Monday in the books. Teak, have a good night, pal.
You too, brother.
Thank you, my man.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Get all our content, Odyssey Sports. Just put in our name, radio at youtube.com/Teak and Tierney. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.